Hi guys, I'm so happy that there is another episode of Luke Gamrot broadcast, and today, of course, in Italy, in beautiful Monte Giovi, my special guest is Cecilia Hedlund. The most important thing is why you are here, because you just came to artistic residence.
Yes.
Because you're a painter.
Yeah, I'm an artist.
So you're an artist. So the first question, and that's gonna be hard. Mm-hmm. How often people, when they ask you, what are you doing? And you say, I'm an artist. They say, oh, but what are you doing in real life? Yeah. Is it often?
It does happen. Yes, it does happen. But I explain that it's my profession, and some people are very confused, perhaps, or surprised. It's my profession. It's what I do for a living.
That's great that you can do that. You know, a lot of artists try to do that for a living, but I can see that you had some successes in your artistic life. Can you say something more about your journey on that difficult and interesting way to be an artist?
It's always a challenge to be an artist, I think, because you will never have a smooth road, I think. Or if you decide that you want to become an artist, you would have to persevere. You really have to fight your way to make a living. And sometimes it can be quite hard because there are always open calls, you meet juries, you might get rejections. But in the long run, if you persist, I think that there will be benefits from it.
What was your fuel on that road? Because it's always the good question. Sometimes you say because there is something inside and I couldn't resist it. Someone said money, of course, but I never hear that from an artist. What was your fuel on that road?
My fuel is that through my art I learn new things, and I learn things about being a human. I learn things about being with other humans and other beings. For me, it's that constant search for new insight and for personal development that really pushed me forward.
So you are in Monte Giovi, in Italy, in beautiful Tuscany, on the artistic residence. So I need to ask, what did you learn about the human based on that experience?
For me, it was different to be in a country where I don't fully can participate because of language. There's a language barrier. Previously, when I've come to new places to which I don't have a previous connection, I would have been able to speak or to read about the place, and that way make some sort of connection with people. And here I found that it was very hard in the beginning because it was so difficult to be spontaneous. I always had to practice my Italian phrases to be able to communicate with people. I've tried very hard to master basic phrases in Italian, and every day I've been writing and reading Italian words and phrases.
Oh my God, but communication is something more than words. It's something more, and you're a painter also.
Yeah.
So you spent some time for that study about the time here in Monte Giovi. So that was your solution to find a connection and communication with the people who see the same view, for example, from many, many years.
Yeah, that's very true. For me, art is it is another language, and it's a means of communicating with people on other levels than the verbal. That was a way for me to connect with the area, to return to a place where I would see Monte Amiata and paint it every day, and to make that as a daily habit.
What was your work here during the residence?
First project was this thing about looking at Monte Amiata every day and paint a small, I call them weather observations, because they were mainly me looking at Monte Amiata, picking out colors, shapes of the shadows and the sun, and paint that. Small paintings, at least one a day, and I've made now 42 of my 26 days here. Another daily project has been to put these brass plates, which I brought from Sweden, in bags with eggshells that I have from my landlord, because he has a egg farm.
Yes.
So I would buy eggs from him, and the eggshells I would put in a bag together with these copper plates, and that was because I knew that the copper plates would react with the eggs to start an oxidization process on the plates. I thought that was a means of measuring time for me. By doing one each day, when my month is over here, I will have a set of 30 plates. So that, together with my painting, were a way to measure time, because I'm very interested in time and the concept of time. and what is time.
What is time?
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Based on your lecture, but based on your studies, yeah. What can you say about the time? If, for example, that time here in Monte Giovi changed a little bit your understanding about the time, what you had before?
If you look at the mountains and you think about them being millions of years and us only being like 30, 40, 50, 80, that puts us in a rather funny perspective.
Very funny or terrifying, you know? Yeah. What does it mean for us? Because it doesn't change at the time what we spend here, the knowledge about that. Is there an impact for us from that knowledge, for example?
For me it is, because I think as a modern human being, life is very much governed by or ruled by the linear time. Yeah. That is the weeks, the months, the hours, the minutes. Like at that time, you have to be at that place. You have that meeting at 2 o'clock and then you have to go to pick up. And it's very linear all the time from start to end. But for me, I find it interesting to think about nature, nature is always in a circular movement. Birth, life, death, birth, life, death all the time. And it just continues like that.
And we are part of nature.
Yeah,
so
we are.
maybe we have some our own circle, but we cannot to see it because we are on that part.
Yeah, exactly.
Life.
Exactly. But for me, it's interesting just because I like to challenge my attitude towards daily life and towards living in general, to think that maybe there isn't just a start, a life and an end to my life. Maybe there is that circularity which I don't know about.
I hear your voice because they are swimming here in the pool, so maybe the continuous of this circle is that. Of course, it's you know, very simplified and stupid answer, but and I answer that, not you. But maybe you can tell me where you can find not the future but the past on that circle.
I suppose it is all these things that I learned from working with art. It feels like I'm in this chorus. There have been many artists before me, especially when you come to Italy, when there's such a heritage of art and artwork and craftsmanship. You feel that you're part of a large chorus, and I'm not the last one. There will be others. But it's nice to think that we have been so many, and we do have another voice, perhaps, than other professions have. We have that allowance to be more reflective, I think, in our profession.
Are you implying that we are just focusing on some very short part of time, just in front of us? We see just, okay, we have some job to do, we've got some task to manage, but if we can't see the whole perspective or just don't try to see the whole perspective, we lost something.
I think we do. And I think, I mean, I could also get caught in that trap to just think one step ahead. It's quite easy. I mean, as an artist, you have to be productive. You have exhibitions, there are open calls, you have to apply for certain things, I mean, grants and scholarships and stuff. So it is easy to be short-sighted, but I like to try not to be. And I think my interest in nature and working in projects that sort of connect with nature or are in correspondence with nature helps me to sort of get out of myself and my ego and see stuff from above or from within or from other perspectives than just me and what I want to do.
Cecilia, in 3 steps, say us how to drop your ego. From where we should start?
Start with a walk at Monte Amiata, perhaps.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I think start with a walk and not knowing what is your final destination. That is a very good thing to do.
So that's a very smooth step to conversation about Italy. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should start from very specific place like Monte Giovi, because they host you and they host us. Very interesting. What is your perspective of life here from your side, and we compare it to Swedish life?
Well, I've noticed in the village where we live that most people seem not to work in Monte Giovi. They might live there, but they go somewhere else to work. So in the mornings you would hear the cars go away and they would return at night. Okay. Also, I've noticed that there doesn't seem to be that many children at the moment. Obviously, because my boy's been out playing on the streets.
Okay.
They've been looking for other children to play with. But then someone told me that many people come for weekends and for summer holidays, of course. So as far as I've been able to see during my 3 weeks here, it seems that there aren't many people living who are actually working and staying in Montegiovi. They might go to Casalepiano or Grosseto or Arcidosso. But coming here as an outsider, of course, it's a very nice place to be. It's very tranquil and you always have nature so present. And just going for walks in the countryside, I mean, it's very peaceful and just a beautiful landscape, I think. And I love the way that it's cultivated, that you see people have their farms. It seems like it has been cultivated in collaboration with nature rather than just having bulldozers that ram the hills just to have a plain field.
You've got a similar attitude when it's go to the nature. I've been there several times and I saw beautiful forest landscape, also a lot of nature and the people who can live close to the nature. Is that something similar?
I think they are similar, but one thing that is quite different is that in Italy, it seems that many people would live up in the villages, but they would have land further away from where they're living. Some people live at farms, but it seems like many people actually live in the villages and they might have a summer house at their land. I think in Sweden there was a shift in how people divided land during the, I think, 18th, 17th century, where people used to live in villages. And they would have land strips going out from their properties. But then authorities decided that this is not the way to do it. So they started dividing land and splitting up the villages. So people would live on their land and there would be less villages. Because what happened was that when people were staying or living in villages and then someone died, they had children, they divided the plot and then they had children. It became very small strips of land. That was the reason why they wanted to change that around, which I like that it has stayed. The villages have stayed here in Italy.
I always wondering how I should call it, like for example Montegiovi. I see small city, but there is 165 citizens there. So it's always like very confusing how to say it, because when I say to my friends that the closest city is Montegiovi, and there is 165 citizens, maybe it's not a city per se. That's gonna be about something like stereotypical about Sweden, Swedish people. Because for example in Poland we always see Swedish people like a little bit cold, a little bit distances. Here is something opposite, you know?
Opposite.
If you compare it Italian way of life and way of expression to that characteristic of Swedish. Are you comfortable here?
Yeah, I feel more comfortable here because in Sweden I've always, I mean, people are a bit more reserved, and especially during winter when there's darkness and people don't go out much. But there is quite a change if you compare Swedish people during the summer, because in the summer people actually live up because there's sun, there's warmth. Whereas in winter, it's just darkness.
Just and came out from the shell.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But what I can say is that I feel here I can possibly express myself better because I've always been very emotional and my family is very emotional. Everyone is emotional. And here it seems like that's more acceptable than at home. At home, you have to be more composed. You have to be more sort of British. Composed.
I guess I remember when we moved here, after a couple of weeks, I still saying to myself that you need to be in a more quiet because there are a neighbor or, but here everyone is so loud. It's very different and I love it and I really love it. They can cry, they can smile, they can scream. It's like normal.
I
really like it. How to become an Italian? Is there any checklist?
That's a very hard question to answer. I can say that I noticed a difference for myself because when I was a teenager, I would spend summers up in the north of Italy because my parents are archaeologists and they would work there in sort of field work with Italian archaeologists. If I compare that experience to now, I feel that being an artist has opened more doors into the Italian society or Italian community because I can find a connection with that love of art.
Okay.
And the love of art history and all that craftsmanship and knowledge that comes from making things with your hands. If you have some sort of interest in the creative things, like yeah. making things, I think that's one way of getting into a society to learn people better.
Be an artist. Yeah. The first one. Okay.
I mean, you don't have to be a professional artist, but maybe you like crocheting or gardening, or I mean something that means that you create something with your own abilities. And then meeting other people who also like that sort of thing, that's one way of connecting. For me, it's been easier to talk to other artists, in though I don't speak Italian very well, but it has been easier to speak to other artists because I share an interest and we can talk about this shared interest in making.
That's a very interesting point of view, because Tuscany, for example, is the land of craftsmen, like
yeah.
the people who are really do something,
yeah, really skilled.
Not in the internet,
no,
but real, they have to work with wood, stone, land, they've got that kind of connection.
Mm.
And if you do something similar, yeah. but in that artistic way, there is some connection.
Yeah, 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 I think so. And also, I think the language is very important, even though, I mean, I struggle with my Italian, but I think it's important to try. And I find that people are very friendly, and if you say that you don't speak much Italian, but I really want to learn, they're very friendly and try to help you. And they try to speak slowly so that I can understand, so.
Yeah, I realized that I just stopped speaking in English and just said, okay, io non parlo italiano, io capisco italiano poco poco. And that's it.
Yep.
And they just, you know, speak in Italian, and I say, always say, si, 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 perfetto. And people just like if you agree, so
yeah.
everything, you know, ends good for
yeah.
me. Like, from time to time, I just get more food than I order,
yeah.
or not that exactly that food what I want. But after all, I'm happy.
Yeah.
that's not a problem
no.
For me. But I want to back to your arts. You work with the time.
Yeah.
And time for the land was mercy, because it's still beautiful. You
mm-hmm.
cannot see change fast. So maybe, and I want to ask you, if you notice that you can just go into that fairy tales here. When
mm-hmm.
you stay here or you live here, you just forget that time is fast.
Mm.
And just you are here and everything is perfect.
Serene. No, that's very true. And obviously, if you talk about time, for us coming here was a break from daily obstacles
yeah.
or daily challenges. So it has been a way of sort of rejuvenation or recreation, just to have a break from everyday life. And all of my family are very grateful for having this opportunity, for sure. And also, I thought about when you talked about my work in connection to Monte Giovi and time. I'm also doing this sound installation that I'm working on, which is based on people's memories, people that have a connection to Monte Giovi. I talk to someone, I get in contact with that person, recommend someone else, and they let me record memories
okay.
that they have.
Can you share with us some the memories of the others?
Well, there is one memory about the woman. She told me that there used to be great parties and festivities because there was a lot of fish in the rivers
oh.
and children would actually catch fish.
Okay.
And like the cherry festival that
yeah, yeah.
was a few weeks ago, but that would be festivals for the fish. And there would be like maritime themes and sailors and fishermen that you don't see today because the waters are
yeah.
quite low, not that much fish anymore. But I like hearing those stories from the past and stories from present, people's memories. They are often quite fragmented. And of course, you know, the memory can play tricks on you. You might think that something happened, which actually didn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that thing. It's sort of gliding between reality and fantasy and memory. And my aim with that project, it's a community-based project. I want to use the memories, the spoken word of people to make a sound installation. I hope that when people listen to it, it will gain some perspective on Monte Giovi, that Monte Giovi is not just one history told. There are many histories that can be told about a place.
And that could be forget.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, when I hear it,
very high possibility to happen. Like you said, memories is something very funny.
Yeah.
You can just lose it.
Mm.
And if you lost it once, never come back.
No.
And if you don't say it to someone else, like you, for example, who just would be, you know, amused about that story and want to record that and go further. That's the best for me. It's what I say, definition of an artist and being an artist, because in the past that was only a story what we can tell to someone and, you know, repeat to someone else, and when we can paint and we can see the paintings, and, you know, that was the memories of our lives.
Yeah.
We just lives in the present.
Mm.
Hard question. What's the hardest thing for you on being an artist?
I've learned to live with the fact that you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Sometimes it can be very hard because you don't know, when will I next be able to support my family, or when will I next have an opportunity to work like this in Montegiovi. But I think I learn from experience that there are rough patches in life where things are just going very bad, and then if you just endure, things will improve. And now, I mean, I'm only 38, so I have much, much more to learn. But I've gone through some serious illnesses, and then I know that life really has these, you know, it's like a roller coaster ride. You never know what's going to happen. Engaging in art is a way for me to deal with that sort of uncertainty.
Okay.
So I would say, for me, at the stage where I'm at the moment, the hardest would be for me not to engage in art, not to make art, because art for me is a way to manage. No, not escape, to manage daily life, to manage all the ups and downs, to manage everything that I meet.
I remember that yesterday you told me that you don't like rules.
No, I don't.
But the art is, how you say about art, is something would help you to settle up things.
Yeah.
So that's the rules.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose it helps me to structure things. It helps me to structure like impressions and thoughts and ideas that I have. But then when I feel I have the structure, I want to break free from the structure.
Okay.
So it's always like a tag and tail or pull and push kind of thing.
And for example, do you see that your arts structuring the reality for the viewers, for the people, you know, on the other side of this art? Did you spoke with someone about that?
I think it's more for me to understand what happens around me.
Okay.
I structure it so that I can understand. Being an artist, you have to show what you've done. That's part of your profession. And then I try to explain it to others, or just to show that this is what I've done and these are my thoughts about it. And then I want to start a conversation, because I understand that you might not think the way I do, but by being different and having different perspectives and opinions, there will be an interesting dialogue, because we don't think the same, because there is a difference.
So how you struggle with that, that opinion that art, that's exclusive, cannot to understand it, because we need to know how to survive another day, how to manage the problems like food, families, illness and stuff like that, and arts are just for the rich people.
I know there are criticism that art is elitistic, or
egalitarian.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. You know what I mean.
But I can understand the protests, or the views that it can be very sort of elitistic, or if it's very conceptual, I can understand that people that are not fully read up in art critic or art history might not follow. My aim as an artist is to work on different levels. As an artist, I read a lot. I've read philosophy, art history, art criticism, I've read law and natural sciences. So I've learned a lot by reading. But my hope is that I can work on these different levels so that I can reach people who aren't interested in the concepts, who don't want to read all that contextual stuff, but only want like a physical experience or a visual experience. My hope is that I reach these people as well as those who really want to dig deep into the concept. I mean, all the thoughts around the work. I think that's the beauty with art, or a really good artwork can work on these different levels. You can fully appreciate it without having read anything, because it reaches something within you that you might not be able to explain, but it triggers something. Like it triggers an impression or a thought or a memory. And that's something that can't really be explained in words, really. It's just something that you feel. Then also you have the other side, which I like too, which is more the intellectual part of it, being engaged in these discussions about what's important in life, what does art mean, why do we do it, which were my thoughts with this. And art fulfills everything for me.
Don't you think that if we put art in a inclusive context, rather than, for example, glass, beautiful building in Stockholm, and the people with tuxedos drinking expensive wine, but if we put it in a cherry garden or in the garden Il Miccio, the greatest restaurant in the world, of course, and everyone from that 165 community can come, hear about that, hear that you put an effort to understand a little bit, for, you know, you had 3 weeks to understand the local community, to understand what they struggle every day, what they see every day, and try to put it in some art context. Like that would be much more better than, you know, expose in some Stockholm glass beautiful buildings.
Yeah, for sure. I think I love meeting people, and I love meeting people. I love discussing art with children, for example, because they don't have the preconceptions.
They're
not biased. They just say what they think. I mean, wow, that's ugly, or why did you do that? And I love that because it's so honest, and there's no pretense, there's no facade. The exhibition or mini exposé I did yesterday at Il Miccio, I love that kind of thing. When you meet people and you talk about, I mean, I can talk about what I've done, even though I don't really like standing in front of people talking, but I'll do it, try to explain, and then just talk with people who shows an interest. And for sure, I agree with you that that kind of setting and being able to communicate my art through that kind of community is great. I mean, it's the best way to do it, really.
Isn't that crazy? What that tell us about that weird Italian culture, that they really doing that? That's a small city, and it's just one of the thousands of small cities, and every single of that are trying to do this stuff like that. They put a lot of effort for that. They manage festivals of everything, and they always try to put some arts there. That's crazy. And I'm trying to find the answer on the question why are they like that. Maybe you can help me. What do you think?
I think that's what I really like about returning to Italy now as a professional artist, as compared to when I was a teenager, that I can really understand that interest in art, of course, because I am an artist. I feel very welcome as an artist, because I feel that there is an interest in art, even though, I mean, we have different tastes in what we like, or we like different kinds of art, but the main interest in having art in our daily life is there, and I can feel it. And I think it has to do with heritage as well, because they're so used, I mean, in Italy there's such a long history of artists.
That's very interesting, because when you see what they're eating, how they're spending their free time, about their design, their clothes, they just put the small part, the small pieces from life, and make art from that. That's crazy. That's crazy, and I love it. Like, I love it, and maybe that's the reason why the art has got a better way to, you know, express here.
In many countries, trade and craftsmanship are on decline, because there's so much invention in machinery. Many things that people used to have to do with hands are not needed anymore, because there's a robot or machine that can make it. But here there's such a strong pride in the craftsmanship, and like making plasters and the ceramic vases, everything. I feel that there's a strong pride in that, and I think that pride is important, because that's going to make those crafts live on, even though we become a hyper-modern society where much is digitalized or robotized. I don't mind progress and thinking forward. And I think, I mean, there are inventions, technical inventions that are tremendous. It's an example of humans' capacity of invention. But I also think it's important to stay with the heritage. So you have that sort of, some people go forward, some pull back, and then you have this very nice sort of balance that comes from it, because there are people pulling that way, people pulling that way, and that makes a diversity, which I think is very important.
And that's why we have Monte Giovi.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Cecilia, thank you very much. That was a really pleasant meeting and talk. I'm so happy that you came here. You can find, you know, below the link, your bio or your website and your links for your Instagram, so you can see your art. Yep. And maybe you can find something what touch you, moving you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was a pleasure.